Chapter 109. Langdon and Catherine stood rigid, side by side and barely breathing. Their backs were quite literally against the wall, or more accurately, against an exceptionally wide steel door. Even though they had slipped into this recess undetected, their arrival had been accompanied by the unwelcome sound of a gun being cocked. Langdon remained still, hoping the fluorescent lights blazing in the supply room would be suspicious enough to warrant a search. We just need a minute's distraction. If not, they were trapped. The footsteps slowly began again, moving closer. After several tense seconds, Langdon saw a welcome sight, a faint splash of fluorescent light on the far wall. Whoever is there opened the supply room door. Suddenly, the fluorescent lights disappeared, and Langdon heard the supply room door click shut. Did he go inside? Langdon strained to hear footsteps, but there was only silence. Catherine shifted beside him, and he felt her hand trying to find his at his side. For a moment, he thought she was looking for emotional support, but then he felt her press a small object into his palm. He glanced down and saw a compact mirror, which she had just pulled from her bag. Langdon flipped the mirror open with his thumb and carefully extended it just an inch past the edge of the recess. In the tiny reflection, he hoped to see an empty hallway, but instead he saw the unmistakable shape of a figure approaching, inching stealthily toward them. The man was older, with silver hair, a dark suit, and glasses. Whoever the man was, he had not been fooled. His handgun was raised, pointing in their direction. Everett Finch peered over the barrel of the outstretched Sig Sauer pistol and surveyed the hallway ahead. The intruder was near. Whoever had penetrated the lower level of threshold had not come to hide in a supply closet. They had come for something else. And if they've made it this far, they're perilously close to uncovering Threshold's most sensitive secret. As Finch advanced, he maintained focus on the hallway's lone hiding place, the recessed door ahead on the right, which was just deep enough to conceal anyone who was standing flush with the heavy metal door. Hugging the left-hand side of the corridor, he moved with furtive steps, keeping his gun trained on the alcove. As his angle improved, his sightline began to reveal the interior of the alcove. When he finally glimpsed the leftmost edge of the metal door, Finch surged forward with two long strides and crouched down, swinging his arms around and taking dead aim. To his surprise, the alcove was empty. Langdon and Catherine stood face to face, hearts pounding. What just happened? Seconds ago, with their backs against the wide steel door, Langdon had recoiled from the reflection of a man advancing on them with a pistol. As he pressed up hard against the door, he felt suddenly as if he was losing his balance. But then Catherine's eyes went wide with disbelief, and it dawned on Langdon what had just happened. The heavy door behind them had moved. Langdon leaned back hard again, joined by Catherine. The door was spring-loaded and stiff, but as they braced their feet and thrust themselves backward, it swung open. It made no sense considering the presence of an RFID scanner, but as he and Catherine slipped through, Langdon noticed the strike plate in the door jamb was stuffed with some kind of green fabric, apparently to keep it from locking. Who propped this door open? Fearing the gunman in the hall, Langdon instinctively pulled the green material out of the strike plate and quietly let the door close. The portal clicked and engaged, locked. The material in his hand, he now realized, was not fabric at all, but rather vinyl or rubber, a cluster of artificial leaves that must have been yanked off the fake ficus tree just inside the door. Incredible luck, Langdon whispered in amazement. Catherine looked less relieved than he expected. Unless someone wanted to be sure they could get out. What do you mean? She pointed to a second RFID scanner on the wall beside the ficus tree. You also need a card to exit, Robert. Someone was trying to prop this door open, but we've just locked ourselves in. The golem gripped the turn wheel on the fourth canister of helium and twisted it to the right, just as he had done with the first three.
The end is near.
After several tight turns, the valve was fully closed and the control panel beeped urgently. The icon for canister number four turned red. Off. Four indicators in a row now glowed red with warning, alongside eight that were still illuminated green. He began the process anew for canister number five, laboring slowly as the wheel turned. Off. The golem made his way down the line, turning off each valve. Every time he shut down a canister, the controller pinged and made an adjustment, opening the helium flow to the next fresh backup canister. Despite his eagerness to finish the job, the golem moved slowly and maintained slow, deep breathing to help prevent another seizure. His objective was within sight now, and he forced himself to be cautious. As he closed each valve, he rehearsed in his mind the steps he would take to escape.
20 minutes will be plenty of time.
A loud buzzer sounded now, pulling the golem back from his thoughts. The control panel was flashing warnings and emitting increasingly urgent beeps. The display screen showed 11 canisters were off. Every canister except number 12 was now manually disconnected from the SMES. More importantly, 9 of those canisters were listed as 100% full.
Thousands of kilos of liquid helium in this tiny space.
The golem took a deep breath and reviewed his plan one last time, then placed his hand on the turn wheel of number 12.
I do this for you, Sasha, he thought as he began closing the valve. Threshold was built with your blood, our blood.
The valve came to a stop, fully closed.
And now I have destroyed it.
At CIA headquarters in Langley, Director Judd sat alone in his secure communications room. He was trying to formulate the proper response to the horrifying video he had just witnessed. A tech team had already purged the video from the internet, but that offered little solace. Whoever had interrogated Gessner could simply repost it at any time. If this video leaked, Judd had little doubt it would go viral almost immediately across the globe. Not only did it feature the brutal torture of a prominent scientist, but the video contained a confession that revealed the existence of a highly secret U.S. intelligence project, including its location, technological breakthroughs, and use of non-voluntary human subjects. The fallout would be like nothing the CIA had ever experienced.